I get to be the guest speaker again, even though I've been here for a long time. I don't know if I'm a guest anymore, but I'm glad that you still come, that when I speak, that people are still showing up. I get to do the Abundant Life. It's going to be a four-part series. And I wanted to start with, first of all, with our Christmas wish list. Have any of you guys, when you were young, had a list that you gave to your parents? Oh, I remember doing that. I remember getting them from my kids. I said, it's interesting that my list, when I was little, was a bunch of toys, and then my kids, they had a bunch of toys. And I'll never forget, my one big wish list as I got older was much like Ralphie's. Remember Ralphie? If you guys haven't seen Ralphie in A Christmas Story, it only plays nonstop from now till Christmas. I definitely watch it every year, have most of it memorized. But everybody remembers he wanted a Red Ryder BB gun, and he could name all the aspects of the BB gun. I wanted a shotgun. I was a little bit older, and I wanted a shotgun. And that's what I asked for. So I actually ended up getting it. It was Remington 870 pump, and I'm sure my dad waited until I was old enough to get it, because getting a gun too early is could be very dangerous for everybody. And so he waited till I was old enough. And the funny thing I remember about Ralphie, and when you're watching that, instead of getting the gift, pretty soon it's fun to watch the dad watch Ralphie open the gift. And as we become parents, that's kind of cool, where pretty soon we're the ones. And the excitement that goes with your child opening a gift you got them that you know that they really, really wanted. And sometimes I think that's the way Christ is with us. As a father figure, he's given us so many things. And we get to experience this wonderful world. And yet sometimes in today's society, it seems like we look at all the negative. I'm one of these guys that goes to the mountains and goes backpacking, and even before my dad passed away, we were fishing one time, and my dad said to me, he says, Alan, and I was, I think, 50 at the time, he says, you've accomplished a lot. You've done a lot of things. And I looked at him and said, Dad, I'm not done. He says, no, that's not what I'm saying. I know you're not done, but you've done, you've had a full life. And I was kind of proud of that, because I think there's too many people that sit on the TV, play video games, watch TV, and don't experience life. I never want to be that. When I'm 92 and a walker, I'm still going to be out doing something. Not too long ago, I hurt my thumb and had to go to Colorado to have it operated on. I was there for a couple of weeks, got infected, and I about lost it. It was kind of a bad deal. But my wife was there most of the time, and she couldn't stay at the hospital, and she would come, and I would get up, and I would, I'd have to walk around. I mean, the nurse goes, well, can you walk around? I said, I hurt my thumb, not my legs. I have to carry my little IV thing around, so I would walk around. I would do laps. My wife gets there and goes, where's Alan at? The nurse goes, well, he's walking around. She goes, you left him unsupervised? You don't know him very well. You can't leave him unsupervised. He'll be in talking to people. He'll be finding out what they're in here and praying with them or doing something. You can't leave him unsupervised. And probably shouldn't say this, but one of the funnest things is I would always joke with the nurses. And, you wear this little gown, and I would always bend over. And, of course, then you're exposing everybody, and they would get these, All right, needless to say, I talked enough about that. What is God's wish list for us? Let's be more specific. What's God's wish list for you? Have you ever thought about that? Let's put a personal touch on it. Because it's going to be different for everybody. When God made you, which he did. He knew you were going to be here to listen to the sermon. God forbid, sorry about that, but he knew that ahead of time. And so what is his wish list for you? Well, an abundant life, the scripture in John 10, 9 and 10. Let's see if we can get that up. I'm going to actually go ahead and read starting at 7. This is the first time I have done this. I usually have my Bible up here. I don't trust this stuff. And last time I was here, it kind of messed up, and so it made me nervous. But it's up there, so that's good. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me, the thieves and the robbers," still up there, "but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly." And I want to focus on the end of it, but if I didn't put the first of it, then we'd think my life in abundance is all about our life on earth. And I think it's more than that. And that when he says that the thieves come, what do you think he's talking about? He's talking about eternal life. He's talking about the people that came ahead of him, and now he's talking about eternal life and that he came so we would have eternal life. Many of us think that life ends when we stop breathing. I'll get to that a little bit later, but don't you understand that we get eternal life as Christians? It isn't when we stop breathing. What is the world's view of abundant life? And I want to touch this before I move on. But he who dies with the most toys wins. Have you ever heard? I've seen that bumper sticker before. Get the most out of life. Many of us often, we think of rich and wealthy. You know, if I say somebody has an abundant life, it's because they got a lot of things, which I think is very interesting. We always compare ourselves to other people. And there's always people that will have more, and people will have less. I remember saying to my son one time that, you know, it seems like when you compare your vehicle to everybody else's, you always compare to people that have a nicer vehicle than you. But you never make that comparison to the person and the kid in your high school that doesn't even have a vehicle or has a crappier vehicle than you. I don't think high school kids should have good vehicles. I think they should have crappy vehicles. I'm just saying that up front, because then you learn to appreciate even the crappy vehicle that you have. And if you want to work harder to get a nicer vehicle, you can do that. The funny thing is, I still have the crappy vehicle that my kids had. It was an old Ford pickup, F-100, and they didn't want me to get rid of it because his name was Farm Boy. Because somebody at one time had shoe polished on it, Farm Boy. I'm like, you can't get rid of Farm Boy. That was like what we drove to school and back. And I remember one time working on and looking at it, and something was having problems because, like I said, you don't give a kid a good, nice new vehicle. Well, they drove back roads, and I got underneath it, and there's a big dent underneath the oil pan. I'm like, wow, that's the same as, like, the axle right there. I hollered at DJ, and I said, what happened here? Have you had this airborne? He looks at me and goes, yeah, twice. I love my son. He was always honest with me. I have to be honest on that. So anyhow, many of us compare and we think about the world's view. Maybe you have an abundant life, a fulfilled life, if you have an expensive car. An expensive car, or if you're a gal, some diamond rings. Or maybe you're an athlete or an actor or an actress. Many of those things are what the world sees of having an abundant life. And as Jesus says in the scriptures, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. When the scriptures, when I say I came, this is actually Jesus speaking. So I'm going to kind of put words in what Jesus came that they are the people who accept him as their Lord and Savior and may have life, eternal life, and have it abundantly. So I could actually end the sermon right now and say, you know, the reason we have abundant life is because of Jesus. We're going to be able to someday see him in eternity along with all of our loved ones, and we can end it at that. But I'm not going to do that because that was 5 minutes. I can't speak for 5 minutes. Everybody knows that. So an abundant life on earth is focused on the fruits of the Spirit and your spiritual gifts, which are given to you when you accept Christ in your life. So there are spiritual gifts. I actually, years ago, did a series on the spiritual gifts, and there's a bunch of them, 30, 40 of them. Some of those are such things as the gift of wisdom, of teaching and preaching, admonishing, healing, honestly, even celibacy. There's a gob of them. And each of you need to find out what yours are. And that's why I did a series, because I asked these Christians, I said, so what are your spiritual gifts? And they come like, well, what are spiritual gifts? Not only did they not know what theirs were, they didn't even know what they were. So we all have spiritual gifts. God gives each of us different ones. Gift of faith, casting out demons. I mean, there's some pretty good ones in there. Speaking in tongues. Yes, I'll say that. We need to find out what our spiritual gifts are, along with the fruits of the Spirit. And I love the fruits of the Spirit. I have used it many times. It is Galatians 22 and 23. Let's see if we can pull that up there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, the funny thing is with these spiritual gifts, or the fruits of the Spirit, is they're pretty easy when everything is going good. The hard part is that we need to be kind when people aren't being kind to us. We need to be good when other people around us aren't being good. We need to be faithful when other people are not being faithful around us. There are times we know we need to be gentle when sometimes we're a little harsh. I know I'm a referee. I kind of wonder when people are yelling at me and I have to be gentle back to them. I don't want to be. I don't want to be. They're not being nice to me. But I have to be. I have to be a peacemaker. Sometimes love and joy. We have to have shared love and joy in sometimes a society or a world that doesn't have a lot of joy in it. This is the perfect time. Ever thought about Christmas time? But not just ending it at Christmas time, but carrying it through our life. When you apply the fruits of the Spirit and your spiritual gifts, you are personally participating in the ways Jesus is bringing heaven to earth. You are becoming more like Jesus. So I think that is definitely one of the wish lists that God has for us, in the sense that if we can become more like Jesus, that's a good thing. Is it hard? Yes, it's hard. Is it easy to love and show peace and patience in a world that doesn't? Yes, it is. What helps is when we have people around us that are doing the same thing. I love seeing a sermon. Me getting up here preaching is a lot different, but if I see somebody doing those things, it makes me want to do it more. So abundant life is peace with God and purpose with God. Mark Twain, who I love to hear his quotes, half the time they always make me laugh. The two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why. I'm going to read that one more time because I like it so much. The two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. That's what part of Christianity is. It's the part that the people that are not Christians haven't figured out. Why are you here? What's your purpose? They don't have an answer. I know I've witnessed to people. Well, I don't know. Because all the matter came together and I end up appearing. There's no purpose at all. A few years ago, on the front page of the New York Times article, there was an article on suicide. Suicide rate surged to a 30-year high and is rising faster now. Many experts try to explain this problem, yet none of them mention faith or God or lack of for the problem. You see, when you have a purpose, suicide isn't the answer. You learn to love and peace and patience. You do that in all situations. Not just in the good times, but in the bad times. You don't choose suicide as your answer. I firmly believe that God has purpose for everybody. He has known you from the beginning. He knows when you will die here on earth, and he will be with you in heaven. Life on earth is short, but we worry about it all the time. German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, which I have actually heard of him, he's a martyr. And before he was executed, he said, "This is the end for me, the beginning of life." Right before he was executed, "This is the end. But for me, it's the beginning of life." You see, we don't often think about our life as just the time before we live and then we take our last breath. We somehow stop right there. But the life is actually, for us, it never stops. That's what eternal life's all about. It's a situation where I don't think God has totally explained to us because we don't comprehend that. I always bring up the idea that if you point it out in the sky and say that never ends, I don't understand that. I don't understand what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life after I die. Ever think about that? Are we going to float around with wings or what? I mean, it's probably the one thing that I said that I wish God would give us more idea, but I think a lot of us couldn't comprehend it. I just know I want to be there. The alternative is not so good. We need to realize that the earth is not our home as Christians. Having abundant life is not just existing just because I'm breathing and my heart is beating. I am physically alive, yes, and so I exist. As a Christian, we need to be alive in the spirit, not just exist. That's what I was bringing up a little bit about when my dad said, "You know, you've done a lot of things." It's not the things that I've done. I hopefully was the person I've become or am becoming in a Christian walk. We all start somewhere in our Christian walk, and our goal is to accomplish some of these things that God has for us. Could he do them without us? Yes. Could he have somebody else do it for you? But he has a purpose for each one of you. And don't take that away, because when you are fulfilling your purpose, the church is coming together and fulfilling God's purpose. And when some of you aren't doing your job, there's gaps there. And I'm pointing to me too. There are people you come across, I will never come across, that you need to witness to. Sometimes your witness is just being a Christian young man or young lady. And I'm saying this to the high school kids too. Just so you know, 90% of Christians become Christians by the time they're 18. Where's the witness field? That's why I was a youth minister. So you do have a role as a high school kid, as where you work. Are you the Christian that you need to be there at work? As Christians, we need to be alive in the spirit, not just exist. I'm going to give a handful of things that I believe wrap this up in the sense of having abundant life in the Lord is putting his ways above your ways and being okay with it. In other words, we understand that God's in charge. And that's hard to give up sometimes. I can think of a lot of people, my wife, I didn't say that, that likes to control things. When things don't go her way, it's tough. I'm like, man, you got to learn how to roll with the punches. Sometimes things don't go always the way you want it to go. And I have to learn how to adapt. I'm adapting to God's control. And after you live and you get older, definitely every day it becomes easier for me. When I was young, I felt like I was strong and, you know, I could do this. I'm a man, da, 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 da. And as I've gotten older, I'm like, you know what? I'm not the person I used to be physically. But all during that time, I knew God had it. Who else would you want to? I mean, I'm okay with God dealing with it. It gets out of my head and I don't have to worry about it. Number two is having an abundant life is knowing that good and bad things are going to happen to you, and you are still thankful that God is in charge. Being thankful in all situations. In all situations that happen. I don't know how many times something's happened to our house, our car, a kid, a grandkid, or something, and I don't wish it on anybody, but I learned to adapt. I learned to handle it because I know God in some way is going to take care of the situation. Worrying about it has never helped. Number three, having an abundant life is knowing that when you are your physical life on earth is done, we have the rest of our life in heaven. The assurance of eternal life. God makes that promise numerous times in the Bible. And like I said, I think a lot of us are like, well, what's that going to be like? Way better than it is here. There are times my wife says, I kind of can't wait till we're all in heaven. And that's a good attitude to have. I'm not quite done living here, but I'm not afraid to die or to take my last breath. I actually have a kind of interesting story. I'll end with that. But having abundant life is focusing on the fruits of the Spirit and our spiritual gifts and applying them to our lives. See, we should apply the good news. Not just read about it, not just read the scriptures and hear it, but apply it to our life. Probably the biggest problem that most of us have. Years ago, I got to watch inmates. I had inmates working for me out at the lake. And I always had Bible verses up in my office, and I had inmates were asking me Bible questions, which is ironic, but it happened a lot. A lot of them say, yeah, I just kind of went astray, and, you know, now I'm locked up now, and I kind of want to come back to the Lord, and I prayed about it, and I end up getting a minister as my boss. And then they find out who I am, and then they're praying that they can find somebody else, but needless to say, but I was talking to people, and there was a guy that knew the Bible really well, and he'd been locked up quite a few times. And I'm like, dude, you know the Bible? What's your deal? I don't understand that. I mean, he had some memory work and this and that. And he says, Alan, he says, knowing the Bible's not the problem. It's doing it. I said, I hear you, bud. I hear you, bud. So that's our challenge. That's our challenge. That's our challenge to each of us. And hopefully we have a wife, we have kids, we have family that can help lead us in that direction. We have a church that we come to, even though Corey's in charge of it, that we can still try to follow the scriptures. Sorry, Corey. If I didn't do that one time, he would, Having an abundant life is having purpose in your life. You see, God installs purpose in people's lives. If you don't have that purpose, just like that article I read earlier is, suicide's an answer. Alcohol's an answer. Fill in the blank. Those are your answers for your purpose. And people try to find those purposes and say, that's the purpose of my life. That's not the purpose. They become very, very shallow. You're going to keep looking. You're going to keep looking. I had a brother-in-law that's a fantastic guy. It's my wife's brother. we talk about him all the time. Right now, he is in charge of the airport, Midcontinent Airport, or Eisenhower, what do you want to call it, of the whole tarmac, like the runways and all that stuff. And if you knew him as a high school kid, you would have been like, how in the heck did you go from point A to point B? You would have never, I would have said he'd probably been a guy working for me in prison at the lake mowing grass. And now he's done that. And he actually works with the Christian church in Norwich. And it's so funny because he talks to these kids and he comes out and first thing he says, okay, here's the deal, kids. I have tried everything else. The answer is God. I'm trying to prevent you from making all the stupid, idiotic mistakes I've made. So you could go right to God and start being fulfilled and have a fulfilled life. an abundant life right off the bat. And he's an amazing guy. And once again, I still kind of shake my head. And only God could have changed him to go from there to there. And how that happened, I have no idea. But it can happen. So we know that we have purpose. So the next one is six, having an abundant life is having your family all committed to the Lord and are involved in a church. Which is kind of fitting because my son did the communion meditation. When each one of my kids were born, I held them, two boys and a girl, and I prayed for them. I held them and said, I pray that God will take care of them, that they will be a Christian, and they will live a life according to Him. I used to think it would be kind of cool if they made a winning shot or caught a touchdown pass, or even as they got older, you know, like I said, they became potty trained. Someday they will be. I don't know when. But after seeing my other son is involved in another church, my daughter helps at Hope Ranch, they've been involved in Christian work. Sharing the good news to your family and friends is part of our calling. It's part of an abundant life. I'm going to end with one last thing, and some of you guys know this about me and some don't. In 2019, I was playing basketball, and I went up to get a rebound on the seventh game that I played. I'm going to say I was above the rim. You can believe it or not. I used to be able to be above the rim, but it was probably somewhere around the rim. Got the ball and threw it out. My son was there, and I thought I fainted. And so I was on the ground and completely out. And I kind of come through a little bit later. Don't know how much longer it was later. DJ says 5-10 minutes. I had a heart attack. They did CPR on me. My son and another doctor, they actually had to shock me. So I was out. I mean, I was dead. I stopped breathing. I had no pulse. And they got it back. And the interesting thing was that it still changed my life. I was a Christian, but all of a sudden perspective came into play. I think they came in my son's play too, because he about lost his dad. And all of a sudden now the things that I thought were important, that the world had taught me that I thought were important, weren't so important anymore. Those worldly views of abundant life, not so important now. You see, things that have changed was my walk with the Lord, even though it was good, has changed to become better. My family and the things that I took for granted became more important. Working for extra money to buy this and that and such, not as important. I'm not saying that I'm lazy, and I still like to have nice things. And I think even having an abundant life, you can have nice things and still live an abundant life. I don't think you have to take the vow of poverty. But God made things way more important. You see, I learned that life is short, and we take our life on earth for granted. We expect to live tomorrow or the next day. I mean, we kind of have an age where we think we'll probably die and be okay with it. But we feel like we're short if we haven't gotten there. You see, life is short, and I think we need to put perspective into things. God has purpose for us. He has a reason for you to live. These are some things that we should probably try to do to help our Maker out. My prayers always end in the morning when my daughter and I get up and pray. We read the scriptures and pray. I think I brought that up before. And my prayers now have basically said, thanks for giving me another day to live. Let me live it for you. You see, when I died, the one thing I do remember, I was out. I mean, my body was not working, but my mind, my soul was still awake. And I'm thinking, man, what's happening? This is weird. I didn't get to see the light. I didn't get to see the other side. I didn't get to see Jesus or nothing like that, which I'm glad. I mean, I wanted to, but they were doing their job, and so I came back sooner than probably should have if I had my choice. They did such a good job, but I remember still being conscious. And that's something that I can personally share with you, is the soul exists without your body. And that's something that many of us question. Well, what's really going to happen to me? I promise you that. And I start thinking, man, what's happening? And then all of a sudden, it's almost like I was talking to myself and I could hear voices. It was kind of like the voices that, like when I referee a basketball game and everybody's cheering. That's what I kind of heard. I couldn't hear specific words and this and that, but I could hear people. Because I asked DJ, I said, were you guys talking to me? Well, they were specifically, hey, dad, because I kind of opened my eyes and I was glazed, and then I finally came through. And when I came through, that's when I asked son, you know, what happened? So your soul exists without your body, and I thank God for that, because I know someday when we take our last breath, that's the part where the soul moves on to our eternal life. And I thank you for Jesus, who was born in a manger around Christmas time, where that's when we celebrate it. I was lucky to go to Israel and see that location, that God sent his son and actually died on the cross for our sins. Can't think of a more awesome, abundant life that God has given for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for all that you've given us, Lord. We have so much to be thankful for. We thank you for your son, who was born in a manger, very, very mild, not big deal and well known, but a little manger in Bethlehem. And that he came to live a life and give his life for us, Father. I pray in the wish list that you have for us, that we can do some of these things, Father, that we can, as you give us purpose, that we can follow the scriptures, that we can find out what our gifts are, follow the fruits of the Spirit, and try to become that light in a world that's full of darkness, Father. Once again, I ask, Lord, thank you so much for letting us live this day. And once again, we live it for you. I pray this in your name. Amen. Okay, I am going to leave. I don't know if there's any announcements or anything like that. Let me come up here.
This is where Corey would come up and talk about offering. Offering is just a time for you to give back to God monetarily. I don't usually like offering talks, so I'm probably not the perfect person to do this. But what I would say is tithing isn't just to give back to the church. It's just a way for us to be obedient and surrendering something that's very hard for us to surrender, and that's money. It's hard for everyone. We always feel like we're struggling no matter how good we're doing. And so giving the 10% is just telling God that you trust him in all ways, not just by coming here, not just by praying, but doing it by sacrificing something that's hard to sacrifice, and that's the money that we work very hard to do. So this is the time to do that. We have offering buckets in the back. You can also go to our website, reallifecc.us, and click on the giving button. Kind of says it up there for you. That's the offering talk for us. Thank you guys so much for coming. We got a couple announcements.